Beneath the stirred-up dust in global financial markets is the growing debt crisis among college students in the U.S. and the growing concern that this is another financial bubble about to burst. Now easy credit, rising tuition costs, and aggressive lenders have created a debt spiral that has put the brakes on economic opportunity for young graduates and has made tax-supported veterans looking for an education easy pickings for the most unscrupulous of schools.
Number one, our veterans are being charged through their GI Bill benefits about twice the rate of the tuition at most other colleges and universities. And secondly, the results are, as expected, disappointing, with very few of them ending up with the training or education they need for a good job.
That's Democratic Senator from Illinois Dick Durbin speaking about one piece of a much larger problem. A new investigation by Vice takes another look at student debt in for-profit and nonprofit institutions. Gianna Taboni is a correspondent for Vice.
Just when you look at the numbers, $1.2 trillion in outstanding student debt, hard to even wrap your head around that. 44 million Americans owe student debt right now. So for us, it being such a massive issue, we felt like we had to look at the areas that were most representative of what's happening in the country. And we decided to also look at for-profits because that's an extreme example of how students are not being supported by this system.
There have been attempts by the federal government to try and regulate the for-profits, but it hasn't been successful. What have you learned?
Not yet. The Department of Education came out earlier this week, and they started looking at one of the big accreditors, ACICS. So this is one of the agencies that accredits for-profits, Corinthian College. That was a big story. The accreditor continued to accredit them even though they were being investigated by many agencies, which a lot of people, Elizabeth Warren being the leader, were enraged by. So the Department of Education is considering ending its contract with its accreditor, which is huge news. So yeah, I mean, we found that this is an issue across the country. We specifically looked at Globe University in Minnesota, talked to the Minnesota State Attorney General there, who is suing them for fraudulent practices. She introduced us to one of the former admissions officers there, who I was frankly shocked by everything that he admitted. He's sort of taking on a whistleblower role right now. But what he said is he had a script that he read off of in order to recruit students in order to hit a quota.
Well, and this is the kind of predicament that that pitch produced. Here's the story, as far as we can tell, of Maggie Scheel, who's a graduate of Globe University, the institution you just spoke about.
Despite having a four-year degree and good grades, the only job that she's been able to get doesn't require a college degree at all.
I owe just over 38 now, 38,000. Last month, I made $650.
Can I ask how much money you have in your bank account right now?
16 cents.
Right now, 16 cents.
Yeah. We're about 2 months behind on all of our bills.
But so, like, literally, how do you pay your loans?
I don't. I'm defaulted right now.
And the circumstances are less important here than the fact that these are people who are probably ill-equipped to deal with these kinds of financial pressures. People in their early 20s, people in their mid-20s, or veterans trying to assimilate and get back into the workplace.
Sure. What we found is that these people, when they were prospective students, they didn't know exactly what they were getting into. So now, after graduating, Maggie Scheel, as an example, $38,000 in debt and making less than she was making before she got the education. So clearly, there's something wrong with this system. And when you sort of zoom out and look at the big picture, 10% of college students go to for-profit. So that number is not very high. But around 40% of students who default on loans go to these schools. Critics like Elizabeth Warren are enraged by this and would say it's more than just a broken system. It's a predatory system.
It's also an inflationary spiral that's taken place. And you took a look at what was the plan B here. And that was don't go to the for-profits. Don't go to the, you know, higher institutions, the Ivy League institutions. Go to the state schools, which were once the affordable option. But that's even less of the case because the debt that's so available drives up the price of tuition. The fiscal support that's coming from the states goes down, and you have a situation like F. King Alexander, who's the president of Louisiana State University.
Tuition has gone up significantly, about 65% for us. We're quietly privatizing public higher education throughout the country. The children in elementary school are not going to have a public, affordable option by the time they get out of high school.
That's a giant headline. Privatizing public education. That's what this amounts to?
I mean, it's just kind of unbelievable. And what shocked me most about that interview and also talking to the governor is that President Alexander, he says before it was funding for that school was 70% state funding, right? And 30% student funding. Now that's flipped. It's 80% is on the shoulders of the students, 20% is state funding. It's just sort of unbelievable. And when we talked to the governor, you know, I said, are lawmakers allocating less money to higher education because they know that students have access to money, to loans? And he goes, absolutely. And not just in Louisiana, but across the country.
It's a bubble.
Yeah. I mean, it's scary, especially people have made the comparison to the mortgage crisis. And Elizabeth Warren sort of says, okay, pump the brakes. It's not that bad. But the comparison's being made, which I think is saying a lot.
And, you know, you feel like it's a crisis if you're a 25-year-old and you're looking at, you know, $80,000 of debt and you're defaulting on everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a scary thing for former students who are trying to pay back debt. I mean, we talked to a couple, Kytra McCarty and her husband, Brandon, in Massachusetts. Together, they owe $291,000 in loans. So they actually can't even afford rent. They're living with her mom, even though, you know, they're at a place in their life where they thought they'd be saving toward buying a house, thinking about having children. Neither of those things they're sure they'll ever be able to do.
Job prospects? I mean, what degrees do they have?
They have master's degrees, actually. They're teachers. They're public school teachers. So again, these are professions where they're doing God's work and they can't even survive. I mean, Kytra isn't just a public school teacher. She has to have three other jobs just to make ends meet. And again, not even paying rent.
Where did you go to college?
I went to NYU.
NYU, that's an expensive place.
It sure is.
Do you have debts?
I actually don't. I consider myself very lucky. I'm from San Francisco. My dad's been doing construction since he was 20. My mom's been doing real estate since she was 20. And as a
good
teen,
planning, debt free.
I mean, yeah, it's good planning, debt free, and the housing situation in San Francisco. I think they just lucked out.
But you have plenty of colleagues who are
yes,
in that same situation.
Absolutely.
And this is a peer experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we were in pre-production meetings and talking about some of the people that we were going to interview. And people in the room just raised their hand, you know, from the PA to our editor to graphics, just saying, this was my experience. And I think we should focus on this. So, I mean, we were really deciding how we were going to tackle this issue based on the people that we work with and their stories.
Gianna Taboni is a correspondent for Vice. You can watch her reporting on student debt tonight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time on HBO.